You're listening to Archer Radio. This is Archer of ArcherRadio.com. And today is Sunday, April 16th, 2006. And for those of you who are religious out there, it's Easter. So happy Easter. Hopefully the Easter Bunny stopped at your house and gave you lots of candy. But anyway, you're listening to this on Monday, of course. But for me, I am back from New Orleans, or New Orleans, or Nolens, however you want to pronounce it. I heard it pronounced all different ways. I had quite a trip to New Orleans, I have to say that. I guess I could just start off by telling you everything that happened on the trip. But anyway, you know, I was all nervous about the airplane and flying on the airplane. Well, the flight to New Orleans was not bad at all. It was actually pretty nice and smooth and went off with no problems. And the flight back, I had a layover in Charlotte, North Carolina, and that actually extended because the flight was 20 minutes late, so that lasted a little bit longer. And then the third flight from Charlotte to Washington wasn't too bad, except we did fly through some thunderstorms in Southern Virginia. So, but it wasn't bad at all, and I didn't get too scared. I didn't throw up or anything like that. It was actually okay. Well, on the flight to New Orleans, the boyfriend and I had time to have lunch at the airport before we boarded the plane, so I had two glasses of Merlot just to be, you know, calmed down and relaxed, and I did. So anyway, the flights were fine. I got through them just fine with no problems. In New Orleans, we were picked up at the airport by the boyfriend's sister, and we went to her house and had dinner with his parents and his sister and her family. And that was Tuesday. We didn't really do anything else. We just kind of hung out and had dinner with them. But Wednesday, we took a huge tour of the entire New Orleans area. The city, the suburbs, the waterfront, everywhere. And I took about 200 pictures of everything that I saw. Excuse me. And let me tell you, the news reports and everything you see on TV fails to show the extent of the damage in New Orleans. Let me just tell you, because I had never seen so much damage in my life. Driving into the city, because we started off in the city, you see, of course, the Superdome, and that's being repaired, and the roof is ripped off and all of that. And you also see the city doesn't have that many high-rises, but of the high-rises you see, every one of them has at least one window out, and some of them have a lot more windows torn out, and still, 8 months later, that's the biggest thing I think is amazing, is that this is 8 months later, and there's still plywood, like, in the windows. They have not replaced the windows yet, and that was a little surprising, because I thought for sure, you know, once the city was back to running, they would be replacing the windows. Some have been replaced, and have like these little white stickers on them to show that the windows are replaced. But it's just amazing to see that the downtown area, how much is still not fixed and how much, you know, needs to be fixed and so on. The other thing too is the amount of businesses that have not come back to the downtown area. There's lots of buildings boarded up and businesses that have just decided that they're not going to return to New Orleans. Like we heard when we were down there, that Macy's has decided not to return to New Orleans. Just amazing. While we were downtown, we stopped to have lunch, and I talked to a lady there who, because I was outside smoking, and she was telling me about, you know, that she lives in, I don't know the area, but a certain area of New Orleans that they have not fixed her house up yet, and she doesn't have the money, and there's all these different political things going on with FEMA money and state money and how people are getting to rebuild their houses and so forth. And she was just, you know, she's like living at renting an apartment just to get work, and she works downtown. It was just sad to hear all this stuff. Also, downtown, there's their big charity hospital. I'm sure you've heard of that on all those news reports. Well, they've decided to implode Charity Hospital and totally do away with it. And that's pretty sad, because all of the poor people who lived in different districts of New Orleans counted on Charity Hospital for their health care. You know, it was like free health care. Well, the building got so damaged, the basement was completely flooded where all the mechanical systems were, and there's tons and tons of windows that have been, you know, smashed out and stuff. So they just decided to implode it. Plus, the building's really, really old. So, but that's just sad that all these poor people are not going to have health care now. They're going to have to go somewhere else. Anyway, from there, we went to the lakefront, which is right near Lake Pontchartrain. And it's the southern side of the northern part of the city, but the southern side of the lake, and where they've got lots and lots of wind damage and, of course, flooding. But I'm telling you, they had all these restaurants and stuff that were up on pilings. They're completely gone. Just the pilings are sticking out of the water. It was the weirdest thing. And actually, I think that part is near the 17th Street Canal. And I got a picture of them working on that. They're trying to repair that right now. But we saw things like boats that have been thrown into houses, cars on top of cars, houses completely demolished. It was just amazing. Well, I thought that was the worst of it until we went to the Lower Ninth Ward. I'm sure you've heard of that. It's the poorest section of the city. And we drove down there, and the boyfriend's sister was telling us that she would not drive down there normally because of the crime. But she said that if she had, she wouldn't even think of getting out of her car. Well, we got out of the car, and we walked around, and I took a lot of pictures. But the damage down in the Lower Ninth Ward is just, it looks like an earthquake, looks like bombs have gone off. Houses are completely moved off their foundations and slammed into other houses. Cars on top of cars, houses totally destroyed, piles of rubble. And nobody in the Lower Ninth Ward has returned. The place is deserted like a ghost town. Nobody is living there. It's just, and this is 8 months later, nobody has come back. It's house after house, street after street, just totally abandoned, just absolutely abandoned. And we saw many of those markers on the, like spray painted on the window or on the buildings that say, you know, this house was searched and they found this many bodies, or, you know, this house was empty, or what pets were there. And that was amazing, because every single house had this spray painted on there. And this one house that I took pictures of, it was a little different than most of the ones that had spray painting things on it. It had one person was found dead in there. But what was different was that people have gone back, I guess family members and friends, have gone back and made like a little memorial for this lady who died in her house. It was a little sad to think about that. But, I mean, it's just, the devastation just, it's almost, I can't describe it. excuse me. We also drove by Fats Domino's house. I'm sure you're familiar with Fats Domino. Well, he still lives in the Lower Ninth Ward, but he's got this, I actually don't even think it's that nice of a house, but it's obviously much nicer than the houses that are down there. He doesn't have that much property, though. It's just a pretty small lot. The house has pink and yellow stripes on it, and this nice white wrought iron fence that goes around the house. And when we were there, his trumpet player was using a power sprayer, power wash thing to clean the mud off the fence. So he's obviously repairing and plans to stay there in the Lower Ninth Ward. Right next to his house is his publishing company, where I guess his CDs are all produced and so forth. He's got a new CD out called Alive and Kicking, which is like his Hurricane Katrina album, I guess. He's definitely still around and things are still going on. Well, he wasn't there. I mean, we didn't see him or anything, but, they're working on his house. It's just, you know, the Lower Ninth Ward, when we were down in New Orleans, there's every day in the newspaper, like, there's an entire section just for Katrina hurricane coverage, you know, what the political cases are this week and who's doing what and what are the possible, you know, funding cases now and all this stuff. And it just sounds like there's so much bureaucracy that no one's going to ever want to return, because you have to go through so much crap to get any funding or anything. So I'm afraid that it's going to be quite a long time before New Orleans returns to, you know, what it used to be, or even close. Anyway, after we went to the Lower Ninth Ward, we drove to St. Bernard Parish. I'm sure you've heard of that, too. That's the one where the parish president, the guy, got on the news, and he was crying and saying his mother died in a nursing home and all that. Well, as I found out from the people in New Orleans, that wasn't true. His mother did not die in a nursing home during the hurricane. She died 3 days before the hurricane. So that was kind of a misleading story. But see, that's the kind of stuff you don't hear being, you know, outside of the area. And the news reports on... Well, see, I didn't watch TV there, so I have no idea what the news reports are like. But the newspapers are all about the Katrina coverage, whereas, you know, it's pretty much died down the rest of the country. But anyway, we went to St. Bernard Parish. And St. Bernard Parish, as I find out, is totally broke. They have no money. They're not getting any money. There's no sign of money coming in. Their tax base is completely gone. It's kind of like the Lower Ninth Ward in that people have not returned to their houses. And they were pretty much, they were swamped underwater too. Again, it's block after block, street after street, house after house, abandoned and destroyed. But the difference here is that all of the trash and garbage and destruction is still sitting on the streets there in St. Bernard Parish. Whereas the streets have been cleared in the Lower Ninth Ward and in the city and in outlying areas. But in St. Bernard Parish, because they have no money, they have nobody to clear the streets. So you drive through there, and you're driving through like a war zone. You have to like dodge things in the street, and there are bulldozers, but I think those are private people who are trying to get their house back to normal, and they're, you know, pushing the debris right into the street, and there's nobody there to pick it up. So seeing all that debris sitting around and all that, I mean, it's trash. It's total trash. It makes me think that the St. Bernard Parish is actually worse off than Lower Ninth Ward, because at least they have been cleaned up somewhat. It was very sad, just absolutely sad to see that devastation close up. And the way that the news and news reports of today totally do not show the true devastation of the New Orleans area. Now, when I say New Orleans area, you know, you think of just the city, but, you know, just like any other city, there's suburbs and there's, you know, outlying areas and stuff. Well, devastation, this flooding, this wind damage was all over the entire area, like not just the city, but miles and miles and miles and miles. I can't even imagine how many miles. For example, the boyfriend's parents live about 12 miles from the city, and they had wind damage and flood damage 12 miles from the city. I guess it's really more like where you live in relation to the levees and the canals and the river. However, all the levees that were around the river held. It was the levees that were near the city with the canals and stuff that didn't hold. I think that's what it was. In any case, it's an absolute mess there. It's a political mess, as you probably have heard on the news lately, that I think it's Saturday, New Orleans is going to elect a new mayor. Well, I heard when I was down there, 23 people running for mayor of New Orleans, and they're spending like $4 million on average to become the mayor of New Orleans. And the job only pays, I think, like $60,000 a year or something like that. I mean, I don't know what it pays, but it's not, you know, wouldn't pay back the loan that they're making on all their money they're spending on the campaign itself. Anyway, so that was our tour of New Orleans, and it was sickening, absolutely sickening. If nothing comes from that, it's that Washington and Bush, well, Washington, D.C., the people in Washington, D.C., and Bush need to get off their asses and spend a hell of a lot more money on New Orleans than they're spending right now. The estimate is that the Bush administration is spending $97 million a day in Iraq. Can you imagine what $97 million a day would do for the city of New Orleans? I mean, they would be back in a matter of months. But at this rate, it's going to be a matter of years before these people return to normal. you know, I don't know how much more I can say about it. It was just absolutely devastating. I was shocked. So anyway, so then on, that was Wednesday. Then on Thursday, the boyfriend and I went to Pontchartrain Vineyards with his mother and his nephew. And Pontchartrain Vineyards is on the northern side of Lake Pontchartrain, and which is, it was about an hour and 15 minute drive from the city. So an hour and 15 minutes away, you'd think, oh, well, surely the storm didn't hit there. Mm-mm. Driving along the road right near the vineyard, there were those famous FEMA blue tarps. So the damage even went that far north. Plus, I'm sure it went much farther north. But in any case, there was damage even at the winery. But we took a lunch, and I took lots of pictures, and we tasted their wines, and enjoyed the afternoon, and that's pretty much what we did on Wednesday. We actually went because Pontchartrain Vineyards has a wine called Cynthiana Norton, and there's one winery in Virginia, Chrysalis, that makes Norton. I think there might be one other one, but I don't remember what it is. But in any case, we wanted to compare the Cynthiana Norton from Pontchartrain and the Norton from Chrysalis Vineyards in Virginia. So we got a bottle of that, and we were tasting it and, you know, writing down our notes and stuff, and we'll be writing an article for the online news site that we do for a little bit later. But anyway, so that's what we did on Thursday. And then on Friday, we went to the French Quarter. We spent the day in the French Quarter. I, had, of course, had never been to New Orleans, so the boyfriend was kind enough to walk me all over the French Quarter. We went to the St. Louis Cathedral, where you saw Bush out there a couple days after the hurricane making his speech. And we got to see inside the cathedral. And, of course, that was Good Friday, so they were having, well, they were about to have services in the cathedral, but we got in there before their 12 o'clock service. And we walked all around the French Quarter. Of course, we went to Bourbon Street, and he showed me all the gay bars and the gay stores and stuff. And, you know, that's another area that even though they didn't have any flooding, they did have some wind damage in there. I think the biggest thing is that businesses haven't come back. But their actual storefronts are fine, but they don't have the people to work in the stores. So they have, they're just closed up. They just decided they're not going to reopen. Like Virgin Records, the record store, closed in down there at the in the French Quarter. They're not coming back. They said they're pretty much done. They might come back in the future, but the sign on the door said that we are closed. So I'm just assuming that. But we actually walked, you know, way back into the French Quarter, probably more streets than the average person or the average tourist does. So we got to see a lot of, like, the residential areas where people have houses, not just businesses. And that was really cool. But, again, on any given street, you would see, like, three or four houses that all look like normal, and then one house that has had damage or no one's living there. So, you know, it's situational again. And then we went to the farmer's market, I think it's the French farmer's market, I'm not sure exactly what it's called, where the boyfriend explained to me that on any given day, there'd be farmers lined up with, you know, selling fruits and vegetables and all kinds of things, food items and stuff. Well, when we were there, it was filled, each booth was filled with, like, junk salesmen, you know, trinkets and souvenirs and all that kind of stuff. And we were just like, we don't want to go through there. So then we went to a restaurant and had some lunch, and it was interesting because on the door it says cash only and like a limited menu, but our spaghetti and meatballs are back, you know, so it's like they're slowly getting back to normal, but like this restaurant only accepted cash, which was fine, and we didn't have a problem with that. It was definitely an interesting restaurant. I forget the name of it, Café de la Delangelo or something like that. The boyfriend would remember, but I don't remember. But it was pretty much deserted. There was only one other little family in there having lunch, and the place was empty. So, but it was on a really cool street. Like, I took pictures of it facing out on the street with the windows were really big, and you could see out on the street, which was cool. And then we walked around some more, went to some more shops, and looked at a lot of people, and then we went to the famous Café du Monde, where they serve the beignets and coffee. And that was good. I've never had a beignet before, so the boyfriend was sure to order order of beignets, and he had coffee and I had a Coke. But the beignets are like this biscuit dough that they deep fry, and then they absolutely cover it with powdered sugar. And you can tell because there's powdered sugar all over the floor in this restaurant, on every table, on the floor, everywhere. But we were in the outdoor, I guess they don't even have an indoor part. They have an outdoor cafe part, and that's where everybody was sitting. I mean, the place is huge. You could sit probably 100 or so people. We were, just sitting there enjoying it and just enjoying the beignets. They were very good. I would certainly have them again. But I'm talking to his mom and his mother about the beignets. Turns out that if you buy the mix online or buy from the store and you try to make it, it's never duplicated. She said they said they're never the same as they are that when you buy them at the cafe. So I guess I won't try to duplicate those. So then we were waiting around for his parents to pick us up because they just dropped us off and they picked us up right in the middle of the city, which, you know, I thought that was a little odd because his parents are, well, they're younger than my parents, but I was still thinking about my mother being in her mid-60s, and she wouldn't even think of driving in the city. Well, the boyfriend's mother drives all over the place. She'll drive in the city. She'd drive, you know, everywhere. So anyway, so they picked us up, then we went home and took a little rest, and then we went to his sister's house. Because it was Good Friday, and she was having her Good Friday seafood bash, where she has a whole bunch of friends over, family and neighbors and stuff, and over to her house for crabs and crawfish or crayfish, however you want to pronounce it, and seafood gumbo. So we got there early, so we were just kind of like hanging around. But so then people were showing up and stuff, so it was time to eat, and let me tell you, believe it or not, I ate a crawfish. Yes, you wouldn't believe it. I actually ate a crawfish. They showed me how to peel them, and you're only eating the crawfish tail because the rest of it is too tiny to even think about. There's a little chunk of meat in the tail, so you peel you rip the whole body off, and you just basically take in the tail, and you squeeze the tail out and pull the vein out, and you just eat that little chunk of meat. Well, okay, so they showed me how to peel it, and I peeled one, and then they showed me how to take the vein out, and I did that. And then I thought I was just peeling it for them, and then the boyfriend's like, well, go ahead and eat it, go ahead. And so I was like, all right, I'll go ahead and I'll try it. I will try it. As you know, I have my issues with food, but I said, I will try it. So I ate one, and it wasn't bad. The first initial bite into it gave me that whole texture issue. As you know, I have issues with textures of food. So, but the flavor was fine. It wasn't spicy. It reminded me a little bit of fish, like a fish flavor, like a white fish or whatever. And, you know, it wasn't bad. So, but I didn't eat any more of them. I said I would just try that. And then they had, so people started showing up, and her husband was cooking all the crabs and all the, they had, no more than 5 pounds, 48 pounds of crawfish. And the reason they get so many is because the average person eats 3 to 5 pounds, and she was having like, I think, 12 people there, something like that. So she, calculated to have 48 pounds, even though, like me, I wouldn't eat any, so other people could eat more. But, and you have to eat a ton of them. You have to peel and eat a ton of them for it to actually add up to anything. It's worse than crab because it's really only a tiny little chunk of meat in the tail part. So anyway, people were showing up and people started filling up their plates, and she had like these trays, and people would take like, 2 pounds of crawfish at a time. They'd just sit there and peel them and pop them in their mouth and peel them and pop them and peel them and pop them until they, got their fill. And they had crabs too. They had blue crabs. I don't know where she got them from. But I peeled a couple crabs. I didn't eat the meat, though, but I peeled it for the boyfriend. Because when I was younger, we used to go crabbing when I would go to the beach, and I know how to do it. So, yeah. So then we just kind of sat around and visited and talked with people, and while everybody ate. And the boyfriend brought a whole bunch of Grey Ghost wine from Virginia, so people were getting to taste the wine, and they enjoyed that. And it went really well with the seafood, so... So yeah, that was that whole, I forgot to say that about the gumbo, because Homer's not going to believe that I ate gumbo. But I didn't actually eat the gumbo, but his mother gave me the idea that to take like a spoonful of rice and just kind of like strain the juice off of a little bit of the gumbo and to taste the flavor. Well, I didn't really care for it, but with the rice, it was okay. So, so I guess you can kind of say I ate like gumbo juice, not really gumbo. So, anyway, so that was the whole Good Friday thing. There was a bunch of kids there, and they were getting their Easter baskets, and they did a little Easter egg hunt. And then pretty much it became late, and people started to leave, so we went home. And then Saturday, pretty much the whole day was my traveling back to D.C. because New Orleans time, I left. Well, they dropped me off at the airport at 12 o'clock at noon, and I didn't get home until 8:40 at night. My time, so it was like 8 hours and 40 minutes from the time they dropped me off to the time I got to my house. So the whole day was in travel. So I had a really good time in New Orleans. Glad to be back. The boyfriend stayed because he has today off, because today's Easter Monday, so he's coming back this afternoon, I believe, or tonight. I don't remember exactly when. But, so we had a great time. The only thing we didn't record any audio or any video for the podcast. So, sorry, just me telling you what we did, and that's about it. So, I just want to send a thank you to Vincent in Malaysia, who sent me some music to listen to. He said to just relax, and I did. Thank you, Vincent. And remind you that Thursday's show is the 200th episode of Archer Radio, and the one-year anniversary of Arch Radio, both happening on the same day. And we've gotten 10 or 11 audio clips from people for the 200th show, and I appreciate it very much. We've gotten a good handful from the international audience. And then finally, when I was gone, a whole bunch of stuff started showing up from the American listeners. So if you are planning to and just haven't gotten around to it, please do. Please record something, because I won't be recording the 200th show until Wednesday night. So if you know, you have plenty of time between now and Wednesday to just record a quick little thing and send it my way. I'd appreciate it. Okay, this whole discussion of New Orleans went way too long. I actually had like 3 or 4 other things on the list, but I didn't get to them, so I'll talk about them on the next show. So, boys and girls, this is show 197, I think. Yeah, I think this is 197. So, we're getting up there. And I've rattled on long enough about New Orleans, so I'm going to end the show. So, thank you all for listening. Thank you for saying subscribe. Thanks for coming back after our vacation. And stay tuned for that 200th show. All right, boys and girls, until next time, bye.
When the saints go marching on in, when the saints, go marching on in, well, I wanna be in that number there. When the saints, go marching on in, when the sun shine, when the sun, I said it start to shine, when the sun began to shine, I wanna be in that number, yeah, when the sun come, begin to shine. That place when the sun began to shine and everybody get in that line, I wanna be in that number. Thank you.
I want to be in that number.
You've been listening to Archer Radio.